We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt, and you are here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. And we are in a sermon series called Crazy Christmas. That's the name of our series. Last week we told you about Crazy Family. If you missed it, you can find it at redemptionplano.com. I hope you can find it. We've all got out the sermon notes. Everything's up right there. It's all for your convenience. Please take advantage of it. Hey, everybody online watching and on the live stream, we love you guys. Some of you, you can't be here for very special reasons, and we are praying for you. I want you to know we are praying for you. Aren't we praying, church? Yeah, we are. We love you guys. Thank you for everybody in the room. We're so glad to have two of my friends from Waco. Man, some high school friends right here. George and Linus, I love you, buddies. This is not me operating in prophetic gift, but I sense a fuzzy taco in our future. All right. Today, I want to talk to you about travel plans for Christmas. Raise your hand if you already have travel plans for Christmas, right? We've got top secret travel plans around the Fluitt house, right? And we're already, and it's going to be probably the longest we've ever driven, ever. And we're going to try to do it during Christmas. So pray for us. Traveling for the holidays makes for a crazy Christmas. Would you agree? So do you have any crazy travel Christmas stories? I think those are really fascinating to hear. And some of our favorite Christmas movies involve crazy travel. Is there anybody here that is really good at movie trivia and wants to win some free cash? Is there anybody? Is there anyone? Who is it? PA looks excited. PA, come on up. She needs a microphone. Get this lady a microphone. Come on, PA. Oh, my goodness. You're going to get some free cash. Everybody said crazy cash. Crazy cash Christmas. All right. See, PA, if you can recognize any of the following films. Let's throw the first one up there. Audience, no participation.
Oh, I have to now?
Yes.
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Is she right? Oh, free money. $5. Walmart. Don't spend it all one place. What is that movie?
Elf.
Oh, man. Can you name the elf's name?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
All I remember is, wait.
He's a real good friend.
He answers the phone a certain way. Yes, something. What's your favorite color?
He's not a pal, but he's a
buddy.
Buddy! Whoa!
Buddy, got it.
And by the way, the Norwal, he says, "Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad." That's what he says. All right. What is the next movie? We're going back a ways. What is that?
Oh, yes. One of my favorites. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Boom!
Yes.
Movie all about Christmas.
Yes.
Now we are down.
That's Thanksgiving, though. That's a Thanksgiving movie.
Is that a Thanksgiving?
Yes. Should I give the $5 back?
No. Movie. I should probably give you an extra $5.
That's a Thanksgiving movie.
All right. We have got one final movie, and if you get this final movie, I will give you an extra $5 gift card to Walmart. Crazy cash Christmas. What is this final picture right there?
Oh, yes. So another favorite, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, she got it. Yep. She wins all $25. Let's hear it for PA. Woo! Thank you, PA. That's excellent. You just never know what you're going to win when you come to Redemption Church during crazy Christmas. Gosh, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is Thanksgiving. Wow. I blame myself. All right. I have a crazy travel story that I'd like to share with you. I remember a time Sarah and I were traveling north to Denison. You know where Denison, Texas is? It's not that far. It was a Christmas Eve, and we had finished a worship service, and we were excited because Sarah was pregnant with our first son, and she was never supposed to have a baby. This was a huge miracle of God, and we were so excited. we had not told her family. So we were going to drive up there, Christmas surprise, Sarah's pregnant. You get the picture? All right, Denison, it's 55 miles from here. 55 miles, it's usually a little under an hour's drive. But on this night, we wondered if we were ever even going to make it. Now, to be honest, Sarah's not in here, so y'all tell her how honest I am. Because I want to get credit, Elizabeth, for being honest. Yeah. All right. Let me say that my wife did say, before we ever started driving, she said, you know, perhaps we shouldn't drive tonight. Perhaps we should just go home and, you know, try it in the morning. But as any husband would do, I did not listen to my wife. Right? I thought it was my duty as a husband and as a first-time father to get my family to a Christmas celebration. Men, who's with me? Yeah. Y'all are silly too. See? Can't tell these men nothing. All right. So the roads were completely iced over. Completely iced over. It was the scariest, most intense trip I can think of. There were cars actually stuck in ditches. There was a place where cars had actually slid off the road and down a large steep. And we're like, we're out in the middle of the place. It's like, what did we do? It's snowpocalypse out here. There were cars stuck in ditches. There were lots of cars on the road. And for some reason, I believe it was absolutely God, I decided to exit randomly. I'm just driving. I don't have any sign of it, but I just felt, we're going to exit right here. And let me tell you, it was like last second kind of a thing. And even though we were going about 25 miles per hour, it scared Sarah to death. There's like, what are you doing? And we're going that way, dear, where no one is driven at all. We're just going to go over there. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I went over there anyway. And we were driving on the frontage area on I-75 going north, the frontage road there. And suddenly we went over that hill. And there was a crazy, like two 18-wheelers, like decided to intertwine. And it blocked traffic, two lanes of traffic back mile and mile. Cars just stopped. And here's where some cars pulled off to the sides and they actually went down steep embankments. It was just insane. And here we were driving slowly, but we were driving on that interstate frontage road. And we said, thank you, Jesus, for helping us, because we don't know what we're doing and we're silly people, but you're still here with us. And what should have been an hour drive turned into a 3-hour drive easily. And it was so intense, but we did make it, and we did have a fantastic Christmas, and we got that moment where we came in late at night, and we told them immediately, and it was just an exciting moment, and we thank God for seeing us through and causing me to take a random exit. Christmas travel is usually crazy. Long distance, too many people, jammed into little space. Anyone ever been there? You got airports. You got the sounds of the season. The sounds of, are we there yet? Yes. I've got to use the bathroom. And a call and response of, he's touching me. She started it. He's touching me. She started it. Just, oh man, the beauty of the season. If you are experiencing anxiety just thinking about Christmas travel, I want to tell you that the first Christmas had crazy travel experiences as well. The first Christmas had crazy travel. Say that sentence with me. The first Christmas had crazy travel. Joseph and a very pregnant Mary traveled a great distance on that first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. So Joseph also went up, everyone said up, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he, being Joseph, belong to the house and line of David. Now, the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is nearly 100 miles. It's just a little bit under 100 miles. Everyone said 100 miles. 100 miles. We got right here, if we can get this on screen here. We have got a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem map right there. Up at the top, you will see Nazareth. On this map, you can clearly see Nazareth is in northern Israel. Bethlehem is in southern Israel. Israel is, Bethlehem is south of the capital city of Jerusalem. All right, so that's the area that that is in. Highlighted on the maps are two possible routes taken. Do you see those two possible routes? One is brown, yellowish looking. One is green. Let's talk about Route A. That is the more direct one. That's actually 75 miles. But if you look at this map, you will see that there are two major obstacles on this map. Obstacle one, mountains. Do you see mountains on this map? Yes. This is not just the plains here. And you don't usually see this in your artwork of the Bethlehem journey, right? No, they are mountains that they are climbing. This pathway is straight through the Judean hill country. Now, it's funny that they call it the hill country, because the word hill is underplayed. It's actually mountains. Any terrain elevation with a height over 2,000 feet is considered a mountain. These are over 3,000 feet, all right? They mountains. Look at somebody say, they mountains, y'all. They mountains. A quick Google search will tell you the Judean mountains are over 3,000 feet tall. Merry Christmas, everyone. That's obstacle one. What's obstacle two? The path travels through an unfriendly area called Samaria. Can we get that back up on the screen? I want to show them that's where Samaria is. Look, there is Samaria. Samaria is right there in the middle, and it goes right through an area called Samaria. Your average Hebrew would travel further. They would actually travel way out of their range to avoid the area of Samaria. It was very unfriendly to Hebrews. So that's Route A. Now let's talk about Route B. This route is further. It's over 90 miles long, but it avoids Samaritan hostility and the majority of the mountain ranges. The path that travels along the Jordan River is likely the path that Joseph and Mary traveled on that first Christmas. Difficult rocky terrain made this grueling trek to Bethlehem. It was dangerous. There was also the danger of being robbed. In the isolated pathways outside of a city, that's where you would find robbers lying in wait. Add to that fact that Mary was in the last portion of her pregnancy, it all makes me marvel. How could she have possibly have done it? Scriptural scholars write that on average, someone traveling these paths could expect to cover 20 miles per day. 20 miles per day. For an average person, they could expect to make this trip from anywhere between 3.5 to 5 days. You following me? This young pregnant mother, Mary, was not your average traveler, though. So she probably didn't hit that 20 miles per day mark. We can think that. The artwork illustrations we usually we see usually show what? Think about the art that you see. What's usually on the artwork that you see? You see Joseph. You see Mary. And you see one other thing usually. You see a donkey. Everyone say donkey. Let's throw that picture up there. Joseph and Mary traveling. Let's get that picture. Yeah, did anybody see a picture like that ever? Anybody see that picture? All right. It's practically universal that every artist's rendering of the journey to Bethlehem includes Mary riding on a donkey and Joseph holding the reins. Scripture does not say that there was ever a donkey. Never. It's nowhere in there. Nor does Scripture say that they walked every step of the way. Bible's silent on it. Scripture's silent on the donkey debate, so we won't get into the donkey debate today. But what we can say, though, is that people who ride donkeys will tell you that it is neither pleasant nor a speedy form of travel. Donkeys go at their own pace. And when they are tired, you know what they do when they're tired? They just sit down. They just stop. My donkeys run out of gas. It's just stop right here. You can be sure that if there was a donkey, you can kiss that 20 miles per hour, that 20 mile a day average goodbye. So we're talking much longer than 5 days. We're talking much longer indeed. All right. So if there is a donkey, you're looking at a journey that even takes more time. I want to tell you that this is a journey no one signed up for. No one signed up for this journey. I want to remind you that Joseph and Mary were not traveling to celebrate their Christmas holiday. They didn't even know Christmas existed yet. Part of why Christmas exists is some people want to sell a lot of toys, but that's a whole other subject. They didn't understand that they were starting a Christmas tradition here. Joseph and Mary did not choose this journey. You know who actually chose the journey for them? It's the tyrannical government of Rome that forced them to make this journey. If they survived this journey, they were given the great honor and prize of paying their taxes. Hooray, you lived! Fork over the money. That was the first Christmas right there, all right? They traveled a journey they had not signed up for. Do you travel a similar journey today? What's your journey? How far are you from your destination today? Do you ever catch yourself asking the question, are we there yet, when it comes to your life and where you are headed? On your destination to happiness and peace, will you have to climb some mountains? Are you in the middle of some climbing of mountains right now? I know so many of us started the year with the destination to get out of debt and to make headway in our careers. And this year seems like it may have caused you to travel so far out of the range. You are nowhere near a direct route because of this year. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You may feel completely derailed on ever getting to your destination. I know some of you have lost loved ones. I know this was not the journey that you signed up for. Some of you have been forced to journey in a direction you would have never chosen. You would have chosen to go somewhere else, completely different. Of all the words you would use to describe this journey, blessing is not one of them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sickness. Some of you have received a diagnosis that leaves you wondering, how? How do you expect me to make this journey? The feeling of being out of control. There are so many things you can't control in this world. You know what some of and you think about them way too much, right? Some of the things you can't control. You can't control your government. Stop freaking out about the government. You can't control that thing. You can't control it. You really can't control everything when it comes to your health. You can't control it. My goodness, we all know that person that runs every day. They never ate anything bad and they just fell over one day. And we're like, how did that happen? Because you can't control your own heartbeat. You can't control it. You can't control the economy. You can't control what people think about you, about your children. You can't control your relationships. You can't control your spouse, your children, your church, your job. You can't control the culture. In so many ways, you're at the mercy of all this stuff. Government points at you and says, do this. And you're like, I don't want to. Do it. And so you're like, you find yourself in a journey. Because some power somewhere is pointed at you. It's enough to make you scream. I did not sign up for this? Have you ever had one of those screaming sessions where you just said, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want this. Have you ever had that prayer with God? I want to tell you, God can handle that prayer. God, I didn't sign up for this. I can't do this. I can't make this. I don't know if I can go on this Christmas season. So many are thinking just those words. I don't know if I can go on. It has been brought up that the amount of suicides spike every year around Christmas time. Every year. As they contemplate a journey that they can't sign up for. That they didn't sign up for. And they think, maybe I can't make this journey. For far too many, this will be their last Christmas. I don't know if I can go on. I don't know if I want to go on. I don't know how to go on. Maybe I'm talking to you today. If I am, I would invite you to let a young, innocent Hebrew girl who was completely over her head, completely out of her depth, yet never gave up, I would ask you to let her show you something today. I want to tell you that Mary traveled with a promise. Mary traveled with a promise. Mary traveled with Joseph. That's right. She probably had a bag of clothes. She had some personal items in that bag, probably. She traveled with those. Yet she also traveled with something unseen. Mary traveled with a promise. We took our text today from Luke 2. One chapter earlier, Mary took another trip. Almost the same distance to the Judean area. She traveled. And she traveled it all by herself. Why did she make this trip? It was the early stages of pregnancy. Hello, morning sickness. She had all of that going on this trip. Why? Why take that trip? It's not the trip most people preach on. So let's preach on it. She had a conversation with an angel. That's why she made that trip. And this conversation contained a promise. Let's read it in Luke 1, beginning at verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." The angel of the Lord told her about her birthing. It told her about her baby boy, who would be the Son of God. But he also promised her that the angel also said that her cousin, her old cousin, her barren old cousin, who had never been able to have a child, was also promised a birth from God. The baby of Elizabeth, his name would be John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord many years from this point. But at this moment, God was using Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, to prepare the way of Mary. We see this beautiful parallel. Verse 39, same chapter, Luke 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Mary traveled to see the promise. She heard news of her promise and someone else's promise. And so she very hurriedly made a travel to see the promise of Elizabeth. It was promised that a barren Elizabeth would be with child. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit in a loud voice. Now I'm telling you that this was the Holy Spirit speaking through Elizabeth right here. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Can we read that last verse together? Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth was pregnant. The promise was true. It was a miracle. And then other miracles happen. Elizabeth speaks prophetically by the Spirit to who?
Mary.
To Mary. She says these words. She says, Mary, you are blessed. I'm telling you, you need to hear that sometimes.
Yes.
You are blessed. She told her, Mary, blessed is the baby that you are carrying. Somebody, sometimes you need to hear that about your life. The things in your life are a blessing. Your family is a blessing. That job that you hate today, can I remind you, it's a blessing. You are blessed, and the things you have are blessed. You listen to me. You are blessed, and the things you have today are blessed. Then she says these words, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has told her, and that the Lord will fulfill his promise. His promises to her. Can I tell you about the promises today? Mary traveled in difficulty. Mary traveled in uncertainty. Mary traveled in weakened conditions. But Mary traveled nonetheless. And she traveled with a promise. I'm looking at some people. You're a little weary. This has been a tough year. You're a little tired of it all. I want to tell you, you got to travel in front of you. You go ahead and travel. You keep traveling. You keep putting one step in front of the other. And you stop focusing on the shortcomings in your life. Start focusing on the promises of God in your life. Traveling with the promise. Is anyone today traveling with the promise? Do you have a promise in your heart? Do you have a promise in your life? Has God promised you something? Have you opened up the Bible and just promises fall out? You know what that happens when you open the Bible. If you are looking for a promise of God, you open up your Bible. They will literally just fall out. Promise after promise after promise. There's more than just a few promises in that book called your Bible. Oh, Mary. Take that next step. Think about that weary step. Take that next step. Why? Because you're blessed. She takes it. But you know what comes after every step? The need to take another step.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, isn't it? Mary, take that next step. Why? Because that child you're carrying is blessed. She takes that next step. There's so many steps in front of her.
Jesus.
Mary, don't quit. Take that next step. Why? Blessed is the one who hasn't stopped believing.
Amen.
Take that next step. Mary, take that next step. Why? Because the Lord will fulfill his promises. Mary, take that step. Take the next step. Why? Because you remember what God has said, what Elizabeth said, what the angel has said. And every time you take a step, it is believing what has already been said. Think back to what the angel said. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. The angel said, "For no word from God will ever fail." Somebody needs to grab hold of that scripture today. No word of God will ever fail. Tech team, y'all keep those scriptures up there. That's what it's all about right there. Look at it right there. No word from God will ever fail. You take that next step. What's going to happen if I take that next step? I don't know, but here's what I know. No word of God will ever fail. No word of God. Is there a witness in this house that you can make every step and it just shows a faithful God gives you the strength to take every step? You see, that's what it's like in your life with Jesus. You want to know everything that's in front of you, right? There's so many people like I would do this thing. God calls you into something that's bigger than you. And I would do it, but I just don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know. No one knows. That's crazy. And you don't treat your car that way. When you are driving away from here at darkness, because it gets dark at what in the world time? Like 3 a.m. It's midnight around here. What time is it? It's 3 p.m. Right? That's what it is. You will need to turn on something on your car, right? You'll need to turn on a headlights. You know how far those headlights go? Go about 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards. Do those headlights, when you turn them on, does it show you everything in your pathway all the way to you get to your driveway? No. It just shows a little bit, and you don't complain about that at all. But for some reason, we won't let God get us in a journey where we can't see five steps in front of us. I would tell you that God is way more trustworthy than your car. Even if you do drive a Ford or Chevrolet or whatever you want, God is more trustworthy than that. And he's got so much to show you. He wouldn't shine his headlights for you to see every step of this journey. Number one, if you saw everything in this journey, you'd really freak out, y'all. He's just telling you to take the next step. You can see that far. Everyone listening to me, you can see far enough to take your next step. Why don't you take your step today? Someone declare today, no word from God will ever fail. Can you help me with it? No word from God will ever fail. You ought to just go and try to prove that. Okay, God, prove it. No word from God will ever fail. I invite every atheist to open up the gospel and read it and try it, because I'm telling you, no word from God will ever fail. You're living in debt, you're freaked out, and you're depressed. Open up your Bible, find a promise, and step on it. Take a step, because no word from God will ever fail. In a moment, we're going to open up these altars. You ought to take some steps to this altar and just prove what is true, that no word from God will ever fail. Your journey is hard, but have you ever just thought, you know, the fact that I'm still standing is proof of the promise. The journey's hard, granted. We've heard enough about that. We've all bellyached enough about the journey. Have we ever just realized, you know what? The fact that I've made it this far, instead of saying, look at all the hardship I've come through. No, the fact that I'm still standing today is proof of the promise. The promises of God will never fail. I should be dead. Anybody there? Anybody raise your hand? That's me. He's talking about me. I should be dead. I should have given up like so many others. It should have been impossible for me to make it this far. The fact that you're still here is proof that the promises of God are true. You are the proof already that no word from God will ever fail. This Christmas, you're dealing with crazy travel, a journey you did not sign up for, but please do not give up. And here's why, and here is what you probably have not considered. Listen, you carry someone else's promise. You carry someone else's promise. Do you realize that Mary was carrying the promise of Eve. Genesis chapter 3, Eve. The promise that Eve's seed would crush the head of the serpent. Mary, while you are considering whether or not you'll take that step, do you realize that you are carrying the promise of one Eve? Mary, you carry the promise of Abraham. This little forgettable little girl from Nazareth is carrying the patriarch of all patriarchs. Promise. Abraham. Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm not kidding you at all. That's how God's promises work. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and that all nations would be blessed through his lineage. Mary, you're carrying that promise. You're fulfilling it because you haven't quit. Mary, you carry the promise of a scoundrel named Jacob. Oh, Jacob. You know, God showed that rascal Jacob a vision of a ladder going up to heaven. And then Jesus, Mary, your baby, one day is going to declare that he is that ladder. That I am that ladder to heaven. Mary, you're carrying that promise. Do you realize it? I want newsflash. Nobody was there to encourage her with these words. But you hear these words today. Why? Because she didn't quit. Because she didn't quit. Because she carried the promise all the way to birth. Mary, you carry the promise of David, that one would sit on the throne of David that would bring peace to the entire world. Mary, you carry the promise of Job. Job, his friends thought he was delirious probably when he said this, but he said it. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. God. Mary, you carry that promise. Mary, you carry the promise of every prophet. Isaiah said, unto us a child would be born. Micah said, the ruler would come out of Bethlehem. Daniel said, we would indeed look upon our Messiah, the one we have pierced. Mary, you carry my promise. You carry the promise of those you'll never meet. Blessed is the one who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. You carry a promise today. Do you realize that? It's not just Mary that carries a promise. You carry a promise today. Do not give up. Someone behind you, that's in the past, someone received a promise of God, and they held on to it, never gave up on it. And now you're carrying it today. It's fulfilled in you today. Someone in front of you, that's in the future. Someone in front of you is going to depend upon the promise you are carrying. Some of you have been so blessed. You had people in your life that carried the promise and they never quit. Anybody got that? Anybody got a praying grandmother that never quit, never gave up? They never gave up on God. They went through hardship, but they carried the promise, and they carried the promise to another generation. I'm telling you, there are churches on every corner. Praise God for every church. But not every church is carrying a promise. We got to carry a promise with us into the next generation. We can't just have another service here. We're carrying a promise to another person. Don't you dare just give up. Don't you dare just quit. You listen to me, pastors. I know church is hard right now, but we carry a promise. So it's not time to quit, and it's not time to give up. No, we're going to pray. We're going to come. Why? Why? Because we have a promise. Why come? Because we're not going to give up. Because every word of God will never fail. right now, I want you to carry these promises to the altar. Come on, some of you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.